back, and we back with another episode of Saved and Such, man. We got a producer on here today.
Once again, yeah.
You good?
Yo, he's so nervous. Give it up for... Okay, I ain't gonna do it.
Y'all clap at home.
Give it up for... Yeah.
Yeah, out of his comfort zone.
Good job.
We're about to open the show up today with a mental health check-in. One being the least, 10 being the best. How's everybody doing? 1 out of 10, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. We'll start with you today, sister.
Well, spiritually, I'm like a 9 because God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good. I'm sorry.
All the time.
God is good.
Physically, I'm like a 5, I guess. It hurts.
Yeah, you is looking a little banged up.
Spiritually. Oh, I said it already. Yeah. 5 and a 9.
Okay. I would say that I am a 9 because your girl is floating on cloud 9, y'all. Yeah, life is good. No, seriously, though, y'all. It's been a turn of events. God is good. Amen. Go.
I'm a 10 all the way
across. Oh, we bet you are.
I'm a 10 all the way across. What was it, spiritually, mentally, emotionally?
Yeah.
I'm about like a 7 emotionally. I need a hug.
Good for you. That's great.
Amen.
You said you need a hug? Yeah. That's not bad. That just means you trying.
We hug all the time on the show.
But when I ask for a hug, go ahead.
Nah, we hug you too.
That's a whole different story.
I'm gonna say I'm about a 3 right now, man. My phone broke today.
Oh, that sucks. I wouldn't admit it. I ain't gonna lie. I had to cancel
it on everybody. Man. It's been a lot going on. I've been having a crazy couple of hours, couple of days, but God is good, amen.
Amen.
Give him praise in the midst of the storm.
Amen. Let him be Lord over your emotions.
Okay. And today we're gonna dive in deep. We're gonna dive in as we are talking about the story of the woman at the well. The woman at the well is a story that we're coming from. And our sister, Deaconess, today. She's looking like a deaconess today. Deaconess.
Y'all know I usually got my little graphic tees on, but deaconess. We went to work today.
Chris is going to open us up with scripture.
Christina, all right, so Abraham, Ruth, Isaac, and Jacob.
My forefathers. Okay, so we are actually going to open up with the woman at the well. So this is where we're going to be pulling for in this segment for today. And I think the woman at the well is so profound because Jesus, as you know, he was traveling with the disciples. He was on his little merry way. And he said, hold up, y'all. I got to make a stop. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful because he knew exactly where he had to make a stop. Yep. That discernment. Amen. Amen. So he met a woman at the well who he knew was going to need him, who was at a time of need. And he knew exactly what she needed, even when she didn't know what she needed. Mm. And so we're about to get in and read that verse. I'm going to start at John 4, verse 10. And this is the part where he already met her. So we're just going to start at verse 10. But it says, hold on, y'all. Gum, don't mix. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. So where do you get the living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. So as we can see, Jesus, again, is talking in riddles. And she's like, okay, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Because
this ain't possible.
This not possible. So when God wants to come into your life, it's usually to shift what we deem impossible because he is the God of the impossible.
Keep preaching.
All right. Verse 13, it says, Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Mm. Would you guys like me to stop there?
You can keep reading if you got anything to say. You can start us off.
Okay.
Because I know I just feel it on you right now. Just go ahead.
Don't get too excited. Can I also have a napkin or is this something I can put this gum in, by the way? But yeah, so again, there he is talking in riddles again. And the woman is probably like, verse 15, there we go. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. He says, go call your husband. He told her and come back here. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly answered. I don't have a husband, Jesus said, for you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband, but what you have said is true. And I think the most beautiful thing about all of that, say hi to Joe, guys.
Hey, Joe.
We actually do not want the Chipotle bag, but we appreciate you. So sorry for that interruption. Trying to read with gum in my mouth was nearly impossible. So, yeah. Where do you guys want to start with this, though? I think there's a lot to unpack when we think about him meeting her at the well and just him knowing exactly where there was somebody in need. And when we think about how, I think it's so profound, y'all. Because think about it. Okay, he knew where she was, and he was able to meet her in his time of need. But then there's also a verse where Jesus says, it is for your benefit that I go. Mm. And so when he was here on this earth, he was bound by location.
Right. Mm.
And so we've seen people literally attacking to be around him, to try to get wisdom, to try to get healing or whatever they could for him. But he said, when I go, then he would be able to be at all places at one time because he would make a home within you. How powerful is that? Because when there's a home in you and he already knew what she needed, that means he knows what you need. Mm. And so there's provision in the midst of everything. Mm-hmm. But usually a lot of times the issue is when it comes to provision, it's perspective.
Right.
And a lot of times the reason why we're not able to perceive the provision that's in front of us or perceive what we need in order to navigate or overcome a situation is because we have the wrong perspective. It's like she said, what do you mean? I don't have a husband.
Right.
She says, you've spoken correctly. You have five. And the one you're with now is not even your husband. So you've spoken correctly. It's because she did not have the perspective and the mind of Christ. But how much more that we have him living down on the inside of us. And he says, like, let us renew our minds.
Right.
But a lot of times, a lot of us are still stuck in the same patterns of our traumas, of our old way of thinkings, of the culture that we grew up in, our communities, what our parents said. We have all of these voices that kind of shape how we view our situations. But God says, I know exactly what you need, and I want to be invited into that.
I don't know how she talks so smoothly.
I don't know either.
It's a gift. Stuttering is definitely a gift because Lord knows I can't do it. But I don't know. To go deeper into that, I found it interesting that not only did he say, yes, you had five husbands, but the husband that you had before this one that you're claiming to be or the one that you were with most recently, the one before him, was your actual husband, and because of all the hurt that you faced, you couldn't be with him, and you pushed him away. And so even that is, like, crazy to me because that's relevant to today's times.
Right.
Like, we do that today. And then even with that, like, Jesus said, I came to you. He said, I knew exactly where to come. And she kept saying, no, you can't drink from me. He said, can I hold your bucket? When she said he didn't have a bucket, he said, let me hold yours. She said, no, I'm unclean. And so he was like, okay. And that reminds me of how God or Jesus just always humbled himself for us. Like, he's God. He don't have to do anything. He don't have to wash our feet. He don't have to take off his garments and wash our feet and then put them back on him. Like, he doesn't have to do that.
He literally doesn't even have to tolerate our sins.
The fact that he's willing to drink off of a lady that everyone else deems unclean just shows you how good of a God he is and how much he loves us and cares for us. Like, I don't know. If I heard somebody was unclean, I probably would be like, oh,
and that's why it separates.
I don't know about that one.
When a lot of times people come to this faith walk and they're like, well, I've done X, Y, and Z. I've done this, or I feel like I'm undeserving. I'm unworthy. And they harbor all of these negative reasons for why God wouldn't love them. Right. God is like, and that's another thing. If we even get into the whole embodiment of the church was for the house of the sick to have refuge, to get healing, to get clean, to have somewhere to go where we can confess our sins and actually grow as a body of Christ. But a lot of times people want to hide. They want to hide, but there's no healing in hiding. Mm-hmm. How can God bring you to wholeness when you're trying to withhold? Mm-hmm. How can we be in community with one another, which we're called to do?
Right.
A lot of times we're like, oh, I don't trust nobody. It's just me, myself, and I, but that's not biblical at all. Mm-hmm. We're called as community. That's why he calls us the body. You might be a pinky and she's a wrist, but how can I have a wrist without a, how can I have a pinky without a wrist? Like, we need each other, but it all takes being vulnerable with one another, being able to share. That's why I always say vulnerability is the thing that connects us. I built my brand off of me being vulnerable. I built my brand off of transparency. I don't care about y'all seeing my scars, because 9 times out of 10, what I've gone through, you done gone through something similar. And in that, there's healing that can come about it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think for me, what I got out of that story was the relationship standpoint. Of how you said how she was pushing people away after the thing didn't go right with her husband, the one that was actually her husband. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I'm going to be very transparent. Like I was recently, you know, dealing with a young lady. Yeah, a young lady, right? Things didn't go according to plan, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I was hurt. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, things didn't go according to plan. And I found myself afterwards, like, being the villain to certain women after, because I was hurt, you know what I mean, and pushing them away and treating them a certain type of way, where I had to take a step back and say, man, I'm actually still hurting, so I don't want to, you know what I mean, hurt these other people in the process of my hurt, of my healing, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying. And the thing is, I was praying one day, and Jesus said to me, he said, I'm holding you while you heal. That's just what, like, came up in my mind about this story. It was like how Jesus just came, you know what I mean, and basically was saying, like, he knew her story. Mm-hmm. And, like, he still wanted her, you know what I mean? And he knew, like, everything that happened in the past. But he still, like, was calling her. And I think that's just something that, like, I got out of it. Just that standpoint of how intentional God is. And, like, he's holding us while we're healing, while we've been through the trauma, the hurt, the pain. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Rayshawn?
I knew it was my turn.
I don't know. You started bubbling up in my spirit, and I said, he got something to say.
God is good.
I'm excited to go.
I'm trying to think real quick. Basically, everything that y'all said is the same thing I kind of got from the story, too. But, like, realizing, like, how, like, in the story, like, how you said, how y'all all said, how God will still, like, take you for who you are, basically.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, like, what you go through in life, the only person that you really can count on is God. And I feel like a lot of times that we always, us as, like, human beings, we always get in a space to where, like, we feel like we don't have anyone. But the whole entire time, we actually do have somebody, just, like, spending that quality time with them. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And when I say quality time, I mean, like, prayer. Like, getting that one-on-one, getting your word, getting your scripture, instead of, like, feeling like, oh, my back's up against the wall. And, like, nowhere to run to, or you turn to the wrong entire things, like, sex, drugs, money, all that kind of stuff.
Distractions.
Yeah, distraction.
Because it requires, in order to get along with God, you have to get along with yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those just dig deeper holes, to be honest.
Yeah.
Only person that can fill those holes is God.
And that goes to the point where he said, if you drink from that well, you'll be thirsty again. If you drink from the well that I have, the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show, like, he's the perfect and complete God. He's the only answer. Whatever you're looking for.
Can I? I'm sorry.
Good.
I really wrestled with that verse at one point. Mm-hmm. Transparency moment. You will never thirst again. But I can recall a lot of times being in this walk where I'm thirsty. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, hello, God, I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. Hello, God, things seem to be getting worse. Hello, God, this pressure is a little bit too much.
Right.
And I'm following you, and I've given up a lot for you. I mean, dreams. I mean, things that I thought I wanted, relationships that I knew I desperately wanted, but it didn't fit the fruit of where I was going. So I'm like, okay, hello. I'm thirsty, but I'm not. That's why I said it comes back to perspective.
Yes.
And I think that in order for us to receive the living water that he's talking about, our minds have to be renewed. It has to be in the correct posture of heart. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about, don't let me lose it. Okay, there we go. It literally says, let that mind that be in Christ be also in you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There is a certain perspective that will give us life. And there is a perspective that is going to bring death. and it's the thoughts that we meditate on. And I was watching a sermon early this morning, and it was so good because she said, what is the story that you have about God? And it was talking about breaking cycles. And she said, what is the story that you have about God? Because for the longest, I grew up in a household where it was like, oh, when it comes to like you doing God's work, the people around you gonna suffer, and that's just what it is. And she said one day she got a phone call, and it was like her son was badly sick or something. And she said immediately, I heard my mother's voice, that's the price that you pay. And she said, God, I'm gonna tell you right now, if this is the price for me to follow you, I don't want it. And he said, that was never the story, that was never my story. That was a story that you were told. And she was like, I'm a good God. Just because something happened, I never intended for that child to hurt. I never intended for you to be molested. I never intended for you to be abused. I never intended those things, but I am a good God and I can still work those things. But that was never my plans for you. We still have a real enemy. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about what is my own stories. And I remember sitting in my room thinking about everything that I had went through as a child. And I had tried to come up with a reasoning. And I said, okay, God let me go through that, and God purposed me to go through that because I was going to break the generational curses. And I heard the voice of the Lord this morning literally tell me, he said, it was never intended for you to go through those things. I never intended for you to be abused. I never intended for you to be sexually assaulted. I never intended for all of these things to happen to you. I never wanted you to carry that. But because you did, I am a faithful God, and I am able to heal you. Mm-hmm. And so I had to change the way that I seen it for him saying, you have to carry this weight and you have to go through this and you have to be persecuted in this way, to, okay, you're actually a father who didn't want that for me, but it did happen to me. You're here for me. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Perfect sense.
Dive a little deeper on that, like that topic that you're saying.
Okay.
But basically, you're saying like, question for myself and a question for like anybody like out there. How you said, like, how you thirst before, but you still believe in God, you still following God, like, how to put this? You know, like all the time they always say, like, our testimony is not our testimony. Mm-hmm. And, like, God will never give you more than what you can bear. Mm-hmm. So the question that I have is, like, why do we go through those things? Like what is the end? Like why? Why do God put us through those things?
It's not. So, something I had to learn is that when you choose God, just like Jesus was hated, we're going to be hated. Mm-hmm. And people, like the saying is, oh, if God is for you, then who could be against you? I don't like that saying because I think if God is for you,
a lot of people against you.
Everybody's against you. And so I say it doesn't matter who's against you because God is for me. It doesn't matter who's against me because the God Almighty is for me. My Savior is for me. That's what matters. And so when you serve in God and you have a godly assignment, a kingdom assignment, the devil hates that.
Exactly.
So he's going to come after you and kill, steal, and destroy because that's his purpose. That's his sole purpose, is to kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can attack your mind, if he can attack you by allowing this and that to happen, if he can take your job, if he can do all these things, then he knows that he has you.
And then make you say, "Why curse God and die," like Job.
Yeah, but the thing is, was he the one that did all his sons die?
Yeah.
He didn't blame God, he questioned God. And that's, I was talking about this on my Instagram too. It's okay to question God. God says, seek me. What?
No, like what you said, like I was like, growing up, like I was always taught like not to question God.
Question.
But like as I got older and like grew that like relationship of my own with God, I feel like you need to question him.
You need to ask questions.
Like you need to ask questions to actually like understand like
God, why I'm going through
this. Yeah, like, because sometimes like you asking that question, like he might reveal to you like, why are you going through this?
Yeah.
Like, why?
He'll say, you don't have the capacity to handle the why, right. But guess what? I'm gonna be your comfort, and I'm gonna show you that I'm here every step of the way, so that even if you do have a question, you feel peace. That's why he said he'll give you joy in chaos. Your world could be turned upside down, but because God is for you, it doesn't matter because he's for you, and he's gonna show you that he's for you. Like, even with her example, like, even with the lady at the well. He said, it doesn't matter what you are because I'm God. I'm Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so her being unclean didn't matter to him because he's the one that can clean her. And so when it comes to the things that we deal with, and yes, the devil can do this and can do that, but the scripture says that all things are working together for our good. People always stop right there. All things are working together for your good. But then it says, and I pulled it up here because I knew he was going here.
You got to read further.
It said, and we know God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love and are called according to his purpose. So it's not just that, yeah, this happened, but God gonna make it work for your good. No, you have to love God, and you have to have that relationship with God for him to make it work for your good. Mm-hmm. He can do anything, but he didn't. He's not. He saved everybody by dying on the cross, but he's not making people choose him.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
People got to go to heaven and hell.
And that's, well, it's really not a part of his will that he says, "I wish that none would perish."
Right.
But because we live in such a fallen world,
right. Mm-hmm.
He knows that not everybody's going to choose him.
And the reason...
Go ahead, Pastor.
And the reason why I asked that question, because I know me personally, I used to like think like that. And I know like I come across like a lot of like friends and like family members who be like, oh, I don't want to like follow Christ because of like this, that, and the third. Like, why you do this? Why you do that? Why you take this away from me? But it's like basically how you explain, like you got to go through those things. It's what you're going to go through.
I feel like if you live a perfect life,
you wouldn't need him.
You not only would you not need him, but your perspective of perfect, like celebrities that sell their soul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Good Lord.
It builds endurance.
Celebrities that sell their soul, guess what? They seem to live a perfect life.
Yeah.
Because they're not choosing God, so therefore they don't have to go through ups and downs and the pruning to get to the point of having the best things and to be able to withstand everything that comes with serving God. They just living a life. The devil don't have to chase people he already has. He's chasing you because he don't have you and he wants you.
Can we dive deeper in that?
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
And we'll be right back after our break, real quick.
We're talking about the printing process.
Celebrities
selling their souls. Let's go. You had something to say?
Did you forget it?
Dang, I did forget it.
So basically, I was saying, like, the devil doesn't have to chase people that he already has. Like, if you're already doing his will and not living for Jesus and you're not even worried about God, your eyes are not open.
I feel like you still do chase, though. Like, you don't feel that way?
He just keeps you stuck.
No, I'm talking about how you said devil don't chase people that he already have. Mm-hmm. But, like, don't you, like, even, like, save people, I feel like the devil still chase.
I feel like the enemy just throws you in cycles. And then he don't got to do much because you just self-destruct on your own.
Yeah.
And that's why something that I'm really big on now, especially going through my coaching classes, is healing damaged emotions. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we just go to church and we're like, hey, this is the word of God, da 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 da. But then you are literally being traumatized by past emotions, by past memories, things that you can't necessarily get out of your head. Even if it's a suppressed memory, the emotion is not suppressed. And that's why you're triggered. And that's why you walk into these type of situations and relationships repeating. And just like you got to heal the wounds of your past. And so the enemy will just throw you into a cycle because he's like, oh yeah, she meditates on negative thoughts all day. Even if I just fed her those thoughts, now those thoughts are so rooted and embedded into her identity. I don't have to bother her. That's manifesting on its own. Next person. Okay, I didn't put them through sexual assault, and now it's manifesting through promiscuity. And so now I can leave her alone because now she's in a cycle of degrading her own self. Exactly. And then I can go to the next person, and now I introduce him to the streets, and they're talking about, oh, this is love. And now he has a screwed up way of thinking because his father left, and now this thing is showing him what a screwed up way of love actually is. Now I don't got to worry about you. I put you in a cycle. Exactly. I just feel like he's
just getting him out the way.
Yeah.
Once he got you, he don't got to.
That's why we got to heal the things that we go through. And that's the memories, the actual emotions connected to the memories. And we have to break down. I always tell people, break down. Why are you afraid to break down in Jesus? I would tell Jesus, look, I'm mad at you. Or this happened and I didn't feel like you were there for me. And I was like, I don't like this. Like I tell you, I didn't like this scripture because I'm like, I don't really agree with this scripture because I'm still thirsty. So, but it's through those conversations that I have in the secret place mm-hmm. that I'm able to get a different perspective of revelation because I'm not afraid to be naked. Mm-hmm. It's in the nakedness and the vulnerability that we even seen him clothing Adam and Eve.
Right. Mm-hmm. And going back to the pruning process, we're still on that topic, right?
We're everywhere.
Oh, okay.
But it's good, though.
But just going back. Going back to the.
Wait, what?
We all kind of everywhere. Where we at?
I mean, we still with the topic though.
Yes. Yeah.
This is just a segue.
So just going back to the pruning process. The pruning process can
hold on. Oh, sorry. God. Before we go there, I had a question on this this topic. Have you ever seen somebody, like she said, that was just eyes closed?
What you mean?
Like, explain, you know how in Genesis, their eyes were basically closed. Like, their eyes were closed, basically. And they didn't see what the world for what it really was until they bit off the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And then the first thing they said were, our eyes are open.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, like, eyes closed to the world, like, not eyes closed to God?
Both.
Both?
When Satan has you, your eyes are closed, you're spiritually asleep.
Right.
And then, to me, when you step into God just a little bit, all he needs is for you to take that first step and he'll just come meet you halfway. Mm. That's all he needs. And so when the devil has you, he keeps your eyes closed and, like she said, helps you to stay in this cycle and continue to feed it and continue to, then it's like, well, I'm not even doing it. She's doing it to herself, but I'm just here, you know, holding her hand through it because I can keep her. But when you take that one step to God, he starts to open your eyes and you start to see, hold up, the devil got me here. I got to get out of this. I got to start going to therapy. I got to start breaking down these generational curses. I got to start doing this. And it goes further. The closer you get to God, God said, draw near unto me and I'll draw unto you. Yeah. So the closer you go to him, the closer he's going to come to you.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to open your eyes through that pruning process and through education and through loving you for real. That you'll be able to see, this is the true way. This is the only way. Yeah. And you'll start to, it's like Kanye to me. I mean, like, he's controversial, but I do believe that his eyes are starting to become open.
I mean, not that they ever were. Controversial in a way. Okay. This is so, I don't know. I think he's low-key. Like, you know, I'd be like, oh, cancel her. She said Kanye's a genius. He's low-key a genius.
Oh, everything is, I think he's a genius. It's a plan. It's always something.
I think he's a genius. Because even if you listen to, nah, wait till I get my money right. He literally said, y'all kill my mama and I'm coming for every last one of y'all, but I'm about to stack these billions. And when I stack these billions, I got something to say. He said it in that whole song. Mm-hmm. Man's low-key a genius.
Can't tell me nothing, right?
Satan such.
But go ahead with you had anything for that or you was good?
I mean, basically what you said, have I known anybody?
Whose eyes were just closed? Yeah, he's like, bro, did you not see this?
Honestly say like myself, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like I can, ooh.
Not the tears.
It's like if I get a little deep. Oh, man. If I get a little deep.
Oh,
honestly,
ahead.
I can say like myself, like being like open and transparency. Open transparency.
Open and transparent.
Open and transparent. Being open and transparent.
Literature.
I ran for God a long time. I can't lie.
Me too.
I ran for God. I feel like it started. I was raised in a church. My mom's usher, this, that, and the third. But then, as some people know, like my mom passed when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So when my mom passed, I had to move up here. Mm-hmm. But like, her passing kind of was like my shutdown. Like I wasn't like a non-believer, but like as years got on and on, I started seeing myself turning to like, I'll low-key say atheist. Like I was like, that's why I asked the question, like, why do we go through things? And like, why do God put us through things that like doesn't really make sense? Like I never was in the streets. I never did anything before my mom passed. Mm-hmm. And it's like after my mom passed, I just like everything went downhill, downhill, downhill. And I feel like sometimes like he put you through stuff to get you to that breaking point. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you get to that breaking point, it feels like, how I said, like, I'm trying to find the right words.
Go ahead, take your time.
Like, he forced you to lean on him, mm-hmm. which he did. And then, like, when you actually lean on him and, like, get that relationship with him and feel good. But, like, mainly while I was asking that question, like, why do we have to get to that breaking point? Like, why do we got to get to, like, that level, like, where we feel like there's nowhere else to turn to? Mm-hmm. But God, that makes sense.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
I don't think I need it. I don't think I need it. I might have heard it before, but it's just
My mom died at 16. 3 months later, my grandma passed.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Wow. It's crazy, though, because I can agree with that as far as, like, not with anything. Like, I mean that when I say God didn't say, this needs to happen to you because I'm going to force you to me. But because it happened to you, God says, run to me because I care for you. Mm-hmm. And my arms are open for you. And I know it. I know you're hurting. And I know what you're going through. That's a real pain. And I'm here to comfort you through it. But I don't believe that God said, hey, this is going to happen because I want to crush my kids to bring them to me. Yeah. That's something that I'm coming out of. That's something that I'm really trying to break myself free from, the fact that God has to really crush me in order for me to say, here I am. I just believe that the world that we live in, stuff happens. And I don't think we're going to get all the answers until maybe one day we leave this earth for why certain stuff happened the way they did. But I do believe that there is a person that we can run to when stuff does happen.
As someone who's lost a parent, losing a mother is nothing like losing a father. But as someone who has lost a parent, I've had that same question. Not necessarily of just not believing in God, but just wondering, like, why did that have to be a part of my story? You could have done anything. You could have done anything else. Like, my father, for real, like, my parent, really, there were a million things you could have done. And I just don't feel like me, I don't think I deserve that. But I literally asked God why. Asked him for years. I can remember probably the first time I really got obsessed with, like, I started finding, like, the news articles about him, my father. I started looking into it, trying to figure out, like, what was he into? What was he doing? Why did this happen? And seeking, you will find. I started looking in the world and in the physical, and I found my answers. I asked my mother questions, and she told me. And quite frankly, so did, you know, the rest of the world. But then as I got older, I realized that as many times I've asked God why and I've cried, and maybe I didn't ask, like, literally God why, but God knew my heart and he knew what I wanted to know. But the older I got, I realized that I couldn't handle it back then because I didn't know who I was, right?
100%.
And probably, 2 years ago, once I started really coming into my relationship with God and I started really understanding who I am in his kingdom and what I'll be doing, literally clear as day, I asked him why. I was crying so bad one day. This man told me he could not nurture the calling I had on your life. And I don't know if, I can't tell you what it is for you, but I can just tell you that I asked and I found out. He told me at the appointed time. He knew that I was in his word enough, and he knew that I had the right understanding for who he is as my father to let me know why he did what he did. Was it unfair? It felt unfair. It feels unfair. But now that I understand how people choose, my mom said that literally she begged my father to go to church, begged him. She bought him a Bible, wrote in it, said all these prayers, and God literally said, stop praying for him. He's not choosing me. My mother said that about her husband.
Is there a lifestyle that he was living?
Yeah, he was in the streets. So he had businesses.
So would you say that it was like choices that were
Yeah. And I used to, when my mom told me that, I said it felt like he had, because he had six-figure businesses that were legal, but he also wanted more.
Yeah.
And he loved money. And so, you know, the love of money is the root to all evil. But my mom was just like, God was like, you praying for him? He's not coming. He don't want to come. My mom is prophetic. And so she said, you know, she told him, like, probably 2 weeks, I think she said, before he passed, I see death on you, and I'm trying to get you to God because he can help you. And he was like, no, I'm good.
It's the choices.
And so for me, it was like, you chose the streets over us, over your three kids. You chose the streets over us, money over us. And I get it. He wanted to provide a better life for us, and he wanted to have these things. He wanted us to be out in the latest and in the best. But that's not who God called us to be. My mom prayed before we even were born into this world for us to not be statistics and numbers, for us to not be a part of the statistics that our family was a part of. She prayed and asked God to make us, her children, her seeds, be the generational curse breakers. And so in order for me to be who I am today and who I'll continue to grow to be, he just couldn't be here. Because he wouldn't have nurtured the calling.
That didn't make sense, though.
So like, in that perspective, I got to live with it. And understand that God is my father. And he always has been. There's nothing I could have ever needed or ever want that he ain't provided. Now, a hug every now and again, you know, a real father figure. Of course, everybody wants that. Real, you know, your parent you want. Mm-hmm. But there's just things that he is going to do for me, even still, to help me with that. So, I thought I'd like to say, ask and you'll find at the appointed time.
100%.
Mm. Yeah. Choices we make sometimes. I don't believe, though, like, you know, there's so many, like, you know how we hear God's perfect will and then God's according will. And then, so, you know, my brother passed recently. Mm-hmm. He leaves behind 3 little girls and he has a son on the way. These little girls are my Adasa's 4. I'm not going to say all their names online. But then the other 2 are 2 and 1. And then the little boy's coming. He'll be an infant. They're all going to have questions. What happened to my father? I don't believe that it was according to God's perfect will for my brother's life to be over at this time. My brother had several signs that there was something very wrong with him. And he hardened his heart and said, I refuse treatment. I don't want treatment. And I don't want y'all to try to help me. I want all y'all to leave me alone. At that point, those are your choices.
Yep.
Those are your choices. I don't believe that was God's perfect will. Because if it was God's perfect will, you would be raising your kids. Mm-hmm. You would be here right now. Mm-hmm. You would have went to the hospital. You would have heeded the warnings. You would have listened to the signs that your body was trying to tell you. Exactly. So it comes to choices. We don't always have to understand everything. But that's why I said one day we will. And I feel like a lot of times we might even attach meaning to what happens to give our own selves comfort. Mm-hmm. Which is okay if that helps too. Mm.
Y'all said a lot. Oh God. No, for real. I can relate to what you just said. Like back to what I said about my mom passing, like how you said like your brother had like a lot of things like wrong with him. Like, and how you said like asking you like, well,
fine.
Well,
fine.
Like that's literally like what it was. Like my mom was sick for a long time. Like we knew she was sick, but we didn't know it was like that. And then like when she passed, you going through stuff. You like, dang, she had this, you had that. Mm-hmm. You didn't say nothing. Like, I don't know. It's like, how you say we're like generation breakers. I feel like that's kind of like why stuff happened the way it happened. Because yeah. Like all my family's like that. Like nobody really say anything. Nobody, like you always like wait till like the last second. Like, I don't know like why us as like African-Americans do that. Like, why do we do that? Like, we can't, like, I don't know, my mom went to church every single Sunday, usher, like, that lady in church. Like,
yeah, I think about the earlier churches, too. When we think about, like, the earlier, we want to go to, like, the black churches, the trauma that they endured is extensive. Mm-hmm. And when you understand how trauma works, trauma is passed down.
It's down from generation to generation.
And so what we see is an awakening happening. So as the Bible says, oh yeah, in the latter days, wickedness will go crazy basically in the earth. But also we will see the righteous awaken out of their sleep. And what we're seeing is a consciousness happening in the body of Christ through his kids. And that's why we're like, oh yeah, this generation is really on to something. It's because that we're awakening. And in that awakening, we can see the curses. So what you're seeing in your family is the trauma of not speaking up, hiding that pain, keeping that within yourself and just having to be strong and just show up anyway and not trying to put the burden on anybody else. That could be something where you say, no, I'm going to speak up if there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this if this needs to be said. I'm going to go make sure that I'm healthy. Those are things that you're consciously doing.
Yeah.
But you know why?
Breaking.
Me and Trey talked about this before. Mm. I don't know if he was there. But literally, there's a theory in psychology called post-traumatic sleep disorder.
I heard of that.
You can't. If things are passed down from generation to generation and slaves were told, if you try to escape to freedom and go find food for your family or go find money for your family, I'm going to kill you and take your kids and kill them. That get passed down. Guess what? The same way the slave masters beat their parents or beat their kids to show them we not playing with y'all, to show them we not playing with y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all try to run away, guess what? Somebody going to die. Somebody going to get their tail whipped. Parents, black parents, had to start beating their own kids who were starting to defy their masters. Mm-hmm. That's where all the whippings came from, because we're whipping you to make sure that you never leave because it could cost you your life.
Mm-hmm. Or like when kids try to act out in public and then we go, oh, don't pay them no mind. I heard once that was like a whole trauma response mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. It's passed down. It's so we ignore our mental health because our mental health has been ignored for centuries, mm-hmm. for generations. Like literally, being a slave is probably the worst you could get.
Exactly.
And I just found this out when I was reading about a few days ago. Because I always say, like, God, how would you let there be slavery to that extent? People use, in the slave message, use the Bible and Christianity. That's or Catholicism. They used it to their advantage because mm-hmm. the Bible does talk about having slaves. Mm-hmm. But the term slave is literally a position. It's a job. Mm-hmm. Just like we have maids, we have servants. Those were also considered slaves. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ mm-hmm. because I'm working under his leadership. That's what the Bible meant when he talked about slavery.
That's a great example.
But even like, I'm sorry. Go ahead. How you say, like, how the slave owners use the Bible, like, I feel like it's another thing, too, like, with the black community. Like, we always say, well, not we always say, most black people say,
that's
the white man religion. Like, but you really got to realize, like, yes, they use the Bible against slave, but like how you said, mm-hmm. certain scriptures, you got to read all the way through.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, like, if you say this and be like, oh, this is what this means, but it's a whole nother chapter.
Context.
And then, too, it's like, pages was ripped out the Bible. Like, you don't, like, yes, they use the Bible, but they use the Bible to, like, a certain extent to what we use.
But
it
not
today.
Only that. Yes, pages were ripped out of the Bible, but we could not read.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They kept us from reading. We couldn't read for our own selves.
They kept us from reading, literally, mm. because the scripture I read about slavery, it literally said, and I heard it quoted in the Harriet movie. So this is how I know this is what happened. He said, in the Bible, he said, slaves, be good to your masters. He said, slaves, be good to your masters. What's wrong?
Go ahead, keep going.
He said, slaves, be good to your masters. And that's all the overseers and the masters would say to their slaves to make them comply. But then it also says, masters and overseers, be good to your slaves. Don't abuse them. Don't do this. Don't yell at them. Pay them what is right. That's literally what the Bible say. Mm-hmm. Because it's a position, it's a job. Mm-hmm. It's not to be what they made it into. But they stopped there and they said you can't read the Bible because of this.
When they separated, a lot of the reasons why they started their own churches is because when we think about Harriet Tubman, why I love her story so much is because she was led by God. Mm-hmm. And that's why he literally says that I will use the foolish things to confound the wise. Mm-hmm. That this is not something that the intellectual man will read mm-hmm. and understand. That somebody who is considered intellectual or dumb, whatever the case may be, even they can take the simple thing of faith and have that be converted into something very powerful. Mm-hmm. We think of Harriet Tubman. We don't know what her intellectual capacity was. If she could read, I don't remember.
She had a third grade education?
Yeah. And this woman had visions. These people were led by God. When we think about, this is why I'm so passionate about, like, even the civil rights movement. When we think about Martin Luther King, we think about even people that they didn't even teach us that we had to learn about after school, mm-hmm. some prominent people, because I don't want to get into, like, the generics, but, you know, going down, like, Rosa Parks and them. But we think about just some amazing people. All of these people had a call on their life, and they were passionate because they had a vision. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God can raise up anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that he will use the things that we can deem, or when we look at somebody like them and they're like, well, they have no education. They don't know the word of God, but God is still talking to them. God is still giving them vision. God is still putting plans in their hearts and they're doing these mm-hmm. things. I think that is very powerful. And that's why I'm like, we raising up some visionaries. We need some people who go, because it's go time.
Be mindful who you talk to.
It's really go time. I'm not lying to y'all, because everybody getting in position, and it's something that God told me 4 years ago, and I was like praying for the last 4 years. What do you mean? It's never made more sense to me than it makes now. But he literally said, my people need to get in position. Mm-hmm. My people need to get in position. Right now, all of the who got the most Instagram followings, who got this, who got that, get in position in your own respected lane, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. Play your part, because as The enemy is getting more bold. We need some people who are about to stand up, and they just as bold in their gifts and their capacity in which they're called, not trying to play somebody else's part, not trying to overdo something they're not anointed for, but get in position. Mm-hmm. John was at the freaking wilderness screaming, prepare the way. Mm-hmm. But that went down as one of the greatest things in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Play your position and play your role.
Mm. Yeah, mama.
Okay. Okay.
I think we got to end it right there, man.
Okay.
That was an amazing, amazing, clap it up, amazing episode, man. This is the end of the Being Broken series, man. I hope that y'all enjoyed it. I've definitely enjoyed it. This might have been my favorite episode, just sitting back and listening to y'all conversate. This thing went so many different ways, but I loved it. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, especially you, Deaconess. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate y'all for rocking with us, man. We're Saved and Such. We're going to keep on going. Next series we're picking up is called Walking in Dominion. Walking mm-hmm. in Dominion. I'm excited about that. So make sure y'all tune in every Wednesday at 3:30. Continue to like, subscribe, and share. Follow us on all streaming platforms at SAVEDNSUCH. It's Reek signing off. Any last words?
Stop saying last words like we about to die.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Love, peace, chicken grease.
There you go.
Keep God in your life. You know the rest.
You know the rest.